Do you realize that a follower of Jesus Christ must be willing to humble himself before other persons who may not be as good as he is? The Gospel of John tells one incident after another in the public ministry of Jesus of Nazareth, which help us to learn the truth which Jesus taught. This is where we are studying now, in the Gospel of John. And we've been going through this material, spending some 15 minutes a day, day after day, in seeking to understand some of the things that are recorded here for us. We spend 15 minutes a day in this way, thinking about things that the Lord Jesus took hours and days to perform. And I'm saying this in this way so that none of us will have the idea that we are able to do the fullest justice and complete understanding of every part of this truth. We speak about it. We point to it. We lead ourselves into it part way. It's to be expected that in our reading, in our private reading, in your own reading, you will grow more and more in these things. In a few weeks, as it is now, we will finish our discussion of the Gospel of John, and we will have spent several months at it. The material that he took 3 years in living. We spend, as I say, so many minutes a day. He spent all hours of the day in doing it. So you see that what we actually come to understand will only be a part of what actually happened back there. And yet, it's given to us so that we can understand enough in him to put our trust in him. There is so much more that we can even realize as we live along. Now, I try to emphasize from day to day and throughout week after week the things that I see which I think would be helpful. I expect I pretty largely go by what looks helpful to me, what I find helpful in my own experience, realizing that you who listen can, of course, see more than I do. I often tell you to have your Bibles open and go along with me, because even as I comment, you may think of other things. So now we turn to a dramatic incident in the story. In the Gospel of John in chapter 13, we're going to look at the first 17 verses. It's one incident, a very well-known, familiar incident, although we have had very little to do with this sort of thing. I'm referring to the occasion when the Lord Jesus washed the disciples' feet. But we want to learn something here. Now, this story in itself is so graphic and tells so much that I think much good will come to us just by reading the story and then letting me make my comments as we go along. So now we start in the Gospel of John in chapter 13. If you have your Bibles open, you'll be glad to follow and watch it. So we read in the first verse. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end, which is a simple description of the situation as it was at that time. And you will see that the Lord knew ahead of time that he was soon to leave his own, and this would mean that he would prepare them for situations to come, because he wouldn't always be with his people, therefore he would prepare them to face whatever the issue would be that would arise in the days that were ahead of them. Now, and look in verses 2 to 4. Supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. This is a long sentence and has in it several important things. I want you to notice in the second verse this comment about the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, suggests several things. I'm not going to say that Judas hadn't thought of it, because we do know he went and talked with the Pharisees about this matter and made plans. And yet this seems to imply that there was a certain impulse given to him, as if at this time, as if Satan at this time gave him the idea, now is the time to do it. And this phrase, which we put in the English in language like this, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, in the Greek brings out a much stronger word. It's as if you threw it into his heart, as if it was hurled into his heart, as if you were to take, say, for instance, you took a stone and threw it into a lake, or you took any piece of metal or something and you threw it overboard into the water. It was plunged into his heart, a sudden impulse coming over him to betray him. Now, as soon as that has been commented, the rest of the verse just goes on and tells you what the Lord Jesus did, as if Judas hadn't been going to do anything. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, he wasn't any doubt as to what was going to happen, that he was come from God and went to God, he knew that the end of his life was close. He riseth from supper, laid aside his garments. We do not know particularly how he was dressed, but it's possible he was dressed as an ordinary teacher would be. He probably had on a sort of a coat or a cape over his clothing that the teachers would have, but it would be the kind of garments that would hamper him if he was going to do a task such as doing a servant's work. He laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. This was not an unusual procedure. It was about the way a servant would do. With us, I think you could very well say that he would take an apron and tie it on. That would be what it would be like. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, this may seem to us a very strange thing, and certainly so far as you and I are concerned, we would find it a very strange thing if we were visiting in any home and the host was suddenly to undertake to wash our feet. We'd find that remarkable. But back in those days, this was not so strange. You must remember that in those days that these people walked in barefooted, in open sandals. You must remember that their streets were not paved like ours, and that ordinarily on any given day, if a person walked in these sandals over dusty, sandy streets with no pavement and so on, that the chances are his feet would get dusty and dirty and hot. And I can say that according to the customs of the day, if you went to a home that was really very well organized and where they wanted to show you a lot of courtesy, you would come to this home, they'd have some servant bring a basin of cool water, we'll say, and rinse your feet. You can just imagine having your feet rinsed in cool water after walking on a hot day and then have them dried with a towel. You can just think to yourself that that would be a very refreshing experience. Today, if we came into a person's home, you might sit down for just a moment. Someone will come and bring you a tray with some iced drink, perhaps iced lemonade, and will come and offer it to you and ask you, would you like to have some lemonade? Well, that would be very much the same sort of a treatment that he did, would have done in this case, and that a servant would do for you if you went into such a home. So the Lord Jesus simply put on this towel as a servant and took the water in the basin as a servant, and then went around doing this as the servants would do it. This could have been done by any servant. I'm meaning to say that this part of it was not unusual. The unusual thing was that it was the Lord that was doing it, because he was their Lord. Now look in verses 6 to 11, where you have this incident with Peter, which is very interesting. When he came to Simon Peter, Peter saith to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? As much as if to say, you can't, certainly one not going to do that. Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Many of us have quoted those words in many contexts, in many situations, for various reasons, but in this case it's also true that what he was doing there under these circumstances, Peter wouldn't fully understand, but someday he would. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. You might wonder, why was he like that? Well, it is a good deal like this. Suppose you come to a person's home, and the host in this home is going to come and take your hat and coat to hang them up. Well, this man's a very busy man. He's a very prominent and important man. You don't think you're very important, and he comes and he's willing to take your coat and hat, and you say, no, I'll hang it up myself, because you don't want to trouble him. If his servant had come, be all right, but you don't want the head man to do it. Something like that would be in Peter's mind. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. There is a sense in which we must humble ourselves to accept what the Lord would do, and be willing to fit ourselves into his plan. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. Now, by the way, someone who knows the language, the Greek, can bring out to you that in that 10th verse there are two different words used for the word wash. In other words, what he is saying is, he that is bathed, a person who's been to the public bathhouse and has had his bath for the day, has been bathed, and then walks home, does not need to rinse his anything but his feet. The second word, wash, is like rinsing. And doesn't need to rinse anything but his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. He knew who should betray him. The point is that the Lord Jesus is saying to Peter, you don't need to have a whole bath at this point, but just your feet that got dusty in walking, that's what I'm going to do. The Lord, that brings out a very important idea. So in verse 12 we read, after he had washed their feet, had taken his garments, was set down, he said, Know ye what I've done unto you? Then he brings out the idea. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. We must always remember that what made this whole incident so significant was, it was the Master and Lord doing it that was important. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And if you will remember that he knew he was going to leave, he knew he was going to leave these disciples in this world, he is giving them an idea of how they're to get along with each other. And they can get along with each other if they will be willing to do this. If any one of them would be willing to serve anybody else, even though the other person is greater than he is himself, but still would be willing to do it. This is the important thing to learn. Our God and Heavenly Father, incline us to be humble before thee and with each other, to be lowly in mind, so that we may be able to live together in peace and in gladness of heart. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.